Good morning. I'm Bill Watkins, and it's my pleasure to serve as Columbia City Manager. Last night, we delivered to the City Council the manager's proposed fiscal year 10 annual budget. This year, the budget was put together on a CD. No longer are we preparing the 6- and 7-inch thick documents that have been in the past the city's budget. And in fact, we are proposing to print less than a dozen of them, primarily for public inspection purposes. This morning, it's my pleasure to talk to you about what we are proposing in the FY10 budget. As required by the city charter, the budget provides a complete financial plan for the upcoming fiscal year. That's the period October 1 of this year through September 30th of 2010. It also officially launches the community decision-making process that allocates public resources for the benefit of citizens for the upcoming year. The city's fiscal position is sound, but not comfortable. It's as I reported in my State of the City address in June, and the same conditions hold for today. We've been adjusting the city budget to accommodate economic factors since 2008. As sales tax revenues start to weaken, while the cost of doing business, especially fuel costs, continue to escalate. Early in fiscal year 2009, that's this year, we revised our 3-year budget forecast and took immediate cost-saving actions that got results. What I am proposing for the upcoming fiscal year is only possible because of what we've already done in fiscal year 2009. Through savings and cutbacks this year, we've slashed a projected $4 million gap between revenues and spending to $2 million. And in fiscal year 2010, we'll take that gap to almost zero by reducing personnel and program spending. This is not a dramatic, showy gesture. That's not my style. The proposed budget is a measured path intended to protect core services over the next 3 years as best as is possible. We will continue to find savings and efficiencies so that when economic conditions turn around in earnest, we'll have the ability to respond to pent-up demands. Last June, I referred to this approach as SOS, seeking opportunities to save, and linked it to the idea of sustainability. As I see it for fiscal year 2010, my duty as city manager is to help sustain this organization and community in 3 ways. Firstly, sustain core services by doing business more efficiently, scaling back less critical tasks, reallocating resources to higher priority work, and increasing fees and rates for some services. Secondly, sustain the city workforce through savings that directly affect employee compensation and by developing internal talent. And thirdly, sustain the city organization and the community through the wise use of our collective resources. Criticism is bound to follow some of my recommendations, but I firmly believe there is an expectation that city government will exert this kind of fiscal leadership. Overall, we project city revenues to be 2.9% lower in fiscal year 2010 than 2009. We are estimating no growth in sales tax revenue. Gross receipts taxes on utilities and the like should grow by about 1.6%. We will see significant reductions in grants, particularly the non-motorized pilot program, earned interest, and transfers from special revenues to support capital improvement projects. We expect our total overall expenses to be about 3% lower than they were in fiscal year 2009. Spending from general government funds and internal service funds will drop 14.6 and 1.8% respectively. Enterprise fund spending, which supports all of the city utilities and other user-paid services, will increase by 3%, primarily as a result of increased costs due to purchase power. The general fund supports public safety, public health, city council and clerk, municipal court, and other functions traditionally associated with local government. It pays for both operating expenses and the cost of equipment. General fund operating costs will fall by 3.6%. Expenses for major equipment and vehicles will decrease by 13%. Changes in sales tax revenue affect these services more than others, and we can't use enterprise or internal service revenues to subsidize these services. To be clear, reductions in most capital projects like the parking garage, city hall, voter-approved sales tax projects, or grant-funded projects like Getabout would not provide operating funding for police, fire, or streets. Expenses in the enterprise funds, the resources that support all of our utilities, will rise by about 3%. These increases are largely associated with the higher costs of our electric power purchases, with voter-approved utility construction projects, and with major equipment needs in our electric and solid waste utilities. Internal service expenses, the cost incurred when one city department provides services to another, will fall by about 1.8%. Most of these decreases are associated with deferred equipment replacement. I believe that our current fiscal environment necessitates a revised business plan for city government. As we continually seek opportunities to save resources or use them more effectively, we will plow those savings back into core services. We will sustain them in ways that seek to meet most expectations and, when times improve, allow them to flourish. The habits we developed at City Hall in fiscal year 2009 will continue in the coming fiscal years. City department directors are accountable for reducing spending in ways that limit damage to core services and that, whenever possible, will build up future fund reserves. A fortunate break in fuel prices will help us. Last year, we budgeted $4 a gallon for gasoline. This year, we're budgeting $3 per gallon. I also want to point out that I will appoint an employee committee to generate and review internal suggestions for cost savings and to recommend implementing those with the most promise. We will scale back some services where, in my judgment, there is minimal effect on the public or no possibility of adequately funding them without damaging a more critical core function. Some of these services are provided by temporary employees, individuals who work for us and work less than full-time, who receive no health benefits, sick leave, or vacation. They do very important work, but I'm recommending reducing this spending line by $470,000 citywide next year. It will take us longer to fix potholes, and we won't sweep streets or mow grassy areas as frequently. The health department won't provide sports, work, or daycare physical exams. The Parks Department will not only scale back mowing, but also plant fewer trees and serve fewer young people through the CARE program. It will also reduce its sponsorship of some of our local festivals and events. Let me note here that I'm recommending the smallest growth in personnel service expenditures and net growth in new employees since at least 1999. I'm proposing a 1% increase in personnel cost and only 2.5 new employees citywide. Traditionally, the city manager has recommended that the city workforce grow at about the same rate as Columbia's population. For the past number of years, that's been about 2%, or roughly 25 positions based on current workforces. These and other actions will allow us to reallocate resources to some higher priority challenges. Here's a few examples. To set up a geographic policing system and put more officers on the street, the police department will hire 2 new officers, primarily for traffic enforcement, and repurpose other existing positions for new assignments. The department is eliminating the community services unit, reducing capital costs, and eliminating some vehicles. And I do want to point out that the 2 new police officers in the traffic unit will be funded with revenues from traffic fines, and we will be setting up a system to monitor how we're doing. To staff the new fire station at Providence and Blue Ridge, Station 9, the fire department will temporarily move some employees from existing assignments, as well as reduce spending for materials, supplies, travel, and training. When revenues improve, the department can recruit new firefighters. To increase our capacity to resolve nuisance and code enforcement complaints, some employees now housed in the Health, Public Works, and Public Communications departments will join the volunteer services staff in a new neighborhood services office. They'll be assisted by an assigned police officer and by a half-time city attorney. The other half of the city attorney will be assigned to the new Citizens Review Board, created to hear issues associated with the police department. As you review the budget, you'll find other instances where vacant positions will not be filled in 2010 and where positions are reassigned. I want to thank city department directors for putting aside any departmental agendas and collaborating to form a more effective organization. As in the past, it will not be necessary to raise taxes in 2010, but I am proposing more than a $790,000 increase in fees and user charges increase to better meet cost recovery goals. These are listed individually in our budget and brief and are spread across fees for health, planning, recreation, and construction services. And a number of them probably will be quite controversial. Let me provide a couple of examples. Health department fee increases should generate about $45,000 to support community health services, food inspections, and swimming pool permits. Starting in 2010, food inspection fees will apply to the schools, to licensed child care centers, and not-for-profit agencies will no longer be exempt from inspection fees for temporary events. The planning department will increase fees and should generate close to $10,000 to support zoning, platting, and other applications. New fees are established for handling minor development plan amendments and annexations. Increases to support parks and recreation services are expected to raise more than $170,000. This includes fees for golf, swimming, the arc, athletic fees, camps, facilities rentals, and adaptive recreation, and our 50-plus programs. We expect to raise more than $570,000 from fees associated with sewer connections, the third and final voter-approved development charge increase dating back to 2005, and a new fee for water backflow prevention. City utility customers can expect residential rate increases for water, sewer, and electric services. The average monthly increase for a residential customer is projected at $8.70. This is right in the average of what we have had to increase rates over the last three fiscal years. Let me assure you that Columbia's rates remain competitive with those of publicly owned and member-owned and investor-owned providers in other parts of Missouri. These rates and fees are dedicated solely to the purposes for which they were established. The revenue that's generated pays for the cost of providing services for capital improvements authorized through voters, by the voters, for ballot issues. In 2010, we'll continue to build utility, road, and other infrastructure as scheduled and promised in the city's capital improvement plan. And as a note, the city will take testimony, or the council will take testimony, on the proposed capital improvements program, which is on the city's website, at a public hearing during its regular meeting August 3rd. That's the next Monday's council meeting. Since becoming city manager, one of my highest priorities has been to attract, equip, and retain a city workforce that is at the top of its class. I'm grateful that the City Council has supported the best pay, benefit, and training packages possible within available resources. However, this year, we've reached a point where fiscal conditions demand tougher decisions on employee issues. In fiscal year 2009, we were able to provide a 25 cent across-the-board pay raise and small increases associated with meeting or exceeding job performance expectations. I regret that there are no across-the-board or performance increases budgeted in 2010. This applies to all city operations in all funds. And let me assure you that I recognize that in the short run, this is contrary to my goals for our workforce. At about two-thirds of budgeted spending, personnel services are disproportionately borne from the general fund. This compares to about 23% of operating costs in enterprise funds and 20% of operating costs in internal services funds. To reach my million dollar savings target from personnel services, I am proposing to spread the pain widely. We simply cannot afford to achieve my desired compensation goals without severe, unacceptable reductions in traditional local government services this year. I want to thank city employees who took the time to consider the effects of 23 suggestions to them a few weeks ago. All of the options discussed were further discussed at two open sessions, one for our employee labor group representatives and one for any city employee who wanted to attend. I posted a video of the meeting along with some fact sheets on the city internet site and invited employees to contact me with their thoughts and suggestions. And well over 300 of our 1,200 city employees did so. One thing came across very loud and clear in all of their comments. Please don't reduce our base pay. In the coming year, my workforce goals are to minimize layoffs, preserve base pay, keep health insurance affordable, adjust policies that we just can't afford, and reduce benefits that aren't critical to employee well-being. Let me first talk about what the 2010 budget does preserve in terms of our pay packages. It proposes no changes in our current base pay and expected work hours. Voluntary employee health screenings every 2 years will be continued. Full pay for an active employee's health insurance premium and a continued subsidy for dependent and retiree premiums, with a 7% increase in the cost of those premiums for family coverage. Full funding for pensions. Continued service awards that recognize tenure, innovation, and cost-saving ideas. And job classification reviews, salary surveys, and approved reorganizations affecting 133 employees. This is the end of a four-year review of all positions and salaries, one of my major goals as I took over as manager 3 years ago. New in fiscal year 2010 will be offers of vision and long-term care coverage available to employees on a voluntary basis at the employee's cost. This benefit was recommended by our internal employee benefit committee. As outlined in my State of the City message, I also propose adding $50,000 to start a three-year talent strategy that targets up-and-coming supervisors and prepares them for more responsibility. An employee working group will screen internal applicants who volunteer to participate, identify future skills needed in our organization, and, when appropriate, teach what they know. This is the basis for my workforce capital improvement program. The 2010 budget does change several long-standing policies because we just simply can't afford them, and because at this time they are, in my mind, lower priorities than preserving base pay and benefits. We are expecting to save almost $1 million in the general fund through these actions. Firstly, consistent with federal law, pay overtime at time and a half based on hours worked and not on hours paid. For an employee with more than 1,040 hours, that's 6 months of unused sick leave, buy it back at 50% of salary rather than 75% of the employee's hourly pay rate. We'll be eliminating the city's contribution to the post-employment health plan and look into better ways to help employees cover health care costs when they retire. And eliminate employee safety wards, which really are token annual payments to those who avoid preventable injuries and vehicle accidents. I want to state that I am continuing to meet with the city's labor groups about how to most fairly implement these savings, with specifics not yet finally determined. What I hope to convey during this message is my belief that sustainability applies to far-reaching stewardship of all of our resources. Beyond prudent use of public revenue is concerned about how we use energy, how we build in a way that does not deplete the natural environment, how we dispose of, or even better, avoid creating waste, and how we exert leadership. The FY 2010 budget includes a new Office of Sustainability and the position of Sustainability Manager. This operation will be partially funded over 3 years with energy stimulus block grant funds from the U.S. Department of Energy, which we have been approved for. The Sustainability Manager will implement business-style plans to reach energy reduction goals and achieve other cost savings for the city organization. The office will also coordinate our community sustainability efforts and develop a community-wide action plan. In the past, I usually conclude by noting our long-standing budget principles. To sum them up, we conservatively estimate cost and revenues and budget no project, including capital project, without assured funding. We adhere to the City Council's directive to preserve at least a 16% fund balance. And this year in the general fund, our 21% fund balance lays a firmer foundation for next fiscal year. Our workforce will not grow at a faster rate than the community at large. This year, we've added a new principle. The budget should reflect actions that implement the community's vision. I'm pleased to say that even with the extremely tight budget, that the budget includes existing or new activities to address items mentioned in 5 of the 7 goal groups in the Vision Implementation Plan. Many of these actions relate to building a safe, healthy, and livable community. Specifically, budgeted items include the new sustainability and neighborhood services offices. I think this is gratifying progress built on 3 years of work by Columbia citizens in developing our vision. I want to point out that our sound financial planning and monitoring systems give us adequate time during this continuing economic transition to avoid extreme adjustments. Again, this year, we're changing our spending patterns to match available revenues. And people have noticed our financial stewardship. Earlier this week, Standard & Poor's, one of the nation's largest rating agencies, announced an improvement in our bond rating, saving us thousands of dollars in interest expense. I thank you for your support for the opportunity to serve as your city manager with an outstanding, hardworking cadre of over 1,200 public service professionals. Let me particularly recognize Lori Fleming, our city finance director, and Laura Peebler, our city budget officer, and the rest of the finance department for again guiding this year's budget process. My thanks also go to city department directors and other staff members who contributed ideas and significant time in preparing this document. And thanks to our employees. Without their willingness to help, I can assure you many more layoffs and program reductions would have been necessary. More details are included in the budget in brief, found in the budget document. You can review in a complete budget on our website, www.gocolumbiamo.com. You can see a hard copy at City Hall, at the Daniel Boone Regional Library, and at the libraries of the University of Missouri, Stevens College, and Columbia College. City Council will be holding a number of public hearings during August and September, and we encourage you, if you have a particular interest, please attend. Let your opinion be known. I look forward to discussing this proposal with the citizens of Columbia and the City Council in the weeks ahead. Thank you very much. At this point, I'd be pleased to take any questions from members of the media who are here.
You said that we expect to save $470,000 citywide by scaling back some services that use temporary employees.
Yes.
What departments would be most affected by those scale backs?
Significantly in the Public Works Department and in the Parks Department. These are the folks that a lot of times do our seasonal work. We mention things like street sweeping. We mention things like mowing. Replacing street signs, those kinds of things are very much driven by our temporary workforce.
And were those the same departments most affected by not renewing or not refilling vacancies?
Some, yes. Some no. I think in the budget in brief, I believe it's page 4, maybe 5, there is a list of all of the city positions that we're either not filling or eliminating, or the couple that we are adding. In addition to that, there are 4 positions in the fire department that are authorized in the budget, but we aren't budgeting for.
Thank you.
Hello. Before today, you had talked about asking for $1 million back from city employees. Is that referred to the sick day paybacks that you're doing, or?
That's part of it. I think we outlined a 4-point program that would produce $973,000 in savings in just the general fund. And actually, when you look at the savings that we will receive from the other funds as well, the enterprises and internal services, it well exceeds $1 million.
And can you go into more detail about the reorganization of different departments and also some of the jobs that have been reclassified, what exactly that means?
Sure. Let's talk about a couple of the reorgs to start with. One that I'm particularly pleased with is the fire department, where we are in the process of finishing up Fire Station 9, a new fire station approved by the voters. Frankly, we did not have the money to man that station. And Chief Mark Rapt, and working with his staff, proposed, and I think it's a great idea, that instead of adding the additional 4 positions that we needed to man that station, that we transfer, reassign firefighters, particularly those serving on a ladder company at Station 2, to man Station 9. And so we were able to save significant amounts of money by not filling those 4 positions. Now, we've got the same number of firefighters serving the area, but they'll now be doing it out of 9 stations rather than 8. There is a significant reorganization in the police department with the goal of putting more officers on the street. And in that reorganization, we've eliminated a position. One of the community service aides is being eliminated. We're adding 2 traffic officers who can really kind of serve double duty while their main function is traffic enforcement, which is what I hear time and time again from a lot of our neighborhood groups about speeding or folks that don't pay attention to signals. We think we can get more officers on the street and doing what the core services are. Now, we're going to eliminate some services that the police department does provide, and some of those may be a bit controversial. But I think what we're really trying to do is to get those officers to where they're needed the most. We've reorganized a number of the public works departments, things particularly in some of the street areas. Again, we talked about that some of those services just are not going to be at the same level that they have been in the past. We're reorganizing and calling a new operation, the city's Office of Neighborhood Services. And we're taking existing people, with the exception of a half-time city councilor, a city attorney, which is new, and creating a special office simply to address nuisance issues and to put more emphasis on our rental housing programs. We think this coordinated effort will provide better services, again, with very little increased costs. And we can kind of go down the list of reorganizations. I think we've looked at the Parks Department. They've been able to eliminate some permanent positions through reorganization. That means that our existing employees are going to continue to have to do more. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, does when you say reclassified jobs, does that go all along with the reorganization of the departments?
4 years ago, one of my highest priorities was to ensure that our employee pay system, we call it classifications, and we have 30-some out of them, were internally equitable, that our employees were in the right pay classification for the jobs that they're doing, and that the classification, not necessarily employee, but the classification was paid commensurate with market cost, so that we were competitive, not necessarily at the top, but certainly not at the bottom, for various positions. And we've been able to move over 4 years by moving some positions around, primarily up, I have to admit, our competitive position from well below average to about average.
Thank you.
So on the police side of things with the community services unit, how many officers or people does that entail?
I believe that entailed three. One of those officers is being rehoused in our neighborhood services operation, and the other two will be reassigned as part of our integration of some of our community policing into the greater patrol units.
So we won't be adding two officers, we'll be losing one?
No, we'll be adding one net. Two traffic officers, reassigning three, losing one.
And then what did you have in mind as far as you said a lot of paying for the new traffic officers will come from traffic fines?
Yes. Yep.
Red light cameras included in that?
No. There is no, and I need to point that out. That's a good point. There is no provisions in this budget for either revenues or expenses for red light cameras. And my position is very simple. We don't know what it's going to take. And until we've got a couple months under our belt, I'm not going to either be adding revenues or adding positions or whatever. I would anticipate that a couple of months after the cameras go into effect, we will be presenting to the council some budget amendments based on whatever additional revenues these things may provide. But there are also expenses in the police department, in the prosecutor's office, in the court. All those things need to be balanced out. There's no quota. We encourage officers to write as many tickets as they deem appropriate. But it seems to me when you put people in a traffic unit, part of the goal is to give people a reminder that they need to modify their behavior. And one of those ways is a traffic citation. As I look at the numbers of citations that some of our traffic officers in the past have written, both Chief Burton and I think we can do a better job. And so by increasing the numbers of tickets that the department as a whole writes, we think we can afford two more officers.
I was just wondering if you could touch on two things. Notice at the beginning you were talking about through savings and cutbacks in 2009, you were able to save about $2 million. Is that right? If you could just talk a little bit about what you've done this year. And also you mentioned that you wanted to sustain core services by scaling back less critical tasks, which you've already said, but you also said reallocate to higher priority work. And I was wondering what those higher priorities were.
I think in 2009 we've done a number of things. One, we've cut back on equipment replacements, some big ticket items as well as small ticket items. We have not filled positions we didn't need. For instance, with the decline in new housing starts, we didn't need as many code inspectors. In the Parks Department, where we've had opportunities to not fill positions, we haven't done it. And those philosophies, as well as those moves, will continue in 2010 and, frankly, in 2011, too. I think they're going to be necessary. Again, we look at a three-year rolling budget, if you would, and this year at 9, 10, and 11, our goal was to avoid a train wreck in 11. We think we've got a plan, and we put the first 2 years of that three-year plan in place with this budget. And I've forgotten what your other question was.
Sorry, you just briefly mentioned that in order to sustain core services, you were going to scale back on less critical tasks. I think you already talked about that. But then reallocating resources to higher priority work, I was just wondering what maybe an example of what that would be.
I think we've had six sessions with the City Council since the beginning of the fiscal year talking about budget priorities. And they've kind of given us some indications of what some of their priorities would be. Frankly, we've made some cut in operations and added and not had to cut. I think that's the best way to put it in 2010. What haven't you had to cut? And we haven't had to cut very much in some of the public safety areas. JCIC, for instance, who I think the case has been made aptly, is understaffed. We haven't made any cuts there now. We haven't been able to add either. But we did make cuts in parks. We made cuts in social services. We made cuts in the city manager's office, on down the line.
When was the last time the budget was actually less than the year before, total?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that I know. My guess is that it would be in the mid-80s. During the last real economic downturn. In my 21 years here, I don't recall a budget that was actually less than the year before.
On the utility increase,
full of questions today.
We have we're looking at 870. Was that the projected for?
That's the projected for an average house.
Any concern there that there might be some, I guess, some problems with that, people concerned about that being too high and not being able to pay for utilities at all, or not at all, but afford that?
Most of those increases were voter-approved increases for capital improvements, with the exception of purchase power costs, and there we're just passing on what our costs are. Actually, we've held operational cost increase to a very minimum level. Remember that the voters approved big increases in sewer to fund our new sewer plant and some of those improvements 2 years ago. They've improved water ballot issues, which again, a big increase, I think 6 of the 8% in water is simply to fund those bonds that the voters approved. Obviously, we'd love to be able to do it with no increases, but I think it's important that, at least from my priority perspective, we continue to make the investments that we need to maintain our infrastructure. It's getting older and older every year, and unless we start addressing some of those issues, future generations, you know, are going to have a major train wreck. And I think a couple percent every year to try to keep that infrastructure in good shape is a wise investment.
On the, you have estimates in here as far as on how much money we might bring in from raising fees for parks and rec and some of the pools and whatnot. Do we have an idea of how much dollar amount that would be increased?
Actually, I think all of those fees are in the budget in brief. Yeah.
Any fears there that if you raise them, people aren't going to come out at all?
Yep, certainly. But if it costs us so much to provide a service, I don't think the rest of the community that is discretionary should be subsidizing that more than the council allowed. For instance, in a number of our recreation programs, we have a policy in place that says, okay, the community will subsidize kids' swimming lessons at 50% or 75%. We weren't at that level. We said that the ARC was going to pay for itself. We need to keep those fees going up, and I think were very, very minimal. We looked at, and we actually brought in an outside consulting firm last year. Some of our costs, particularly in outdoor and adult recreation. And again, we weren't meeting our cost. And there the policy was clearly that we need to recover at least our operating costs for those items. That's what we're proposing to do. In some cases, I think the options are to eliminate the programs. But rather than do that, I think the extra dollar or whatever it takes for registration to cover those costs, again, is a good, reasonable alternative. Anything else? If not, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this morning. Again, Council will hold multiple work sessions and public hearings beginning next Monday on the proposed fiscal year 10 budget. We encourage you to form yourself. I think the budget in brief provides an excellent overview of the major changes and proposals in the budget upcoming. If you should have further questions or something that you can't find an answer to, call the City Manager's office, 874-7214, and we'll try to get that information for you. Thank you very much. Good day.